Welcome back to another episode of the One Percenter Podcast. I'm your host, David Nurse, and we're going to dive in deep on this second episode with movement specialist, world-class movement for your mind, your body, your soul, Aaron Alexander. If you haven't listened to the first episode with Aaron, please do yourself a favor. Stop this podcast now, listen to it, and then come back. Aaron is an absolute savant when it comes to movement, when it comes to how to best posture your body, what you should be doing daily, how to set up your environment to help you be fully the best version of you that you can be, both through movement for your body to become like a Greek god chiseled like Aaron is. Just look at his picture and you'll see that, but also for your mind and how to be able to laugh at yourself when things aren't going the way they should be, or how to be able to just de-stress in the movement and the different types of positions that you can be in that will absolutely help you do this. So, One Percenters, without further ado, I bring to you Aaron Alexander, part two, the One Percenter Podcast. And make sure after this podcast, leave a review on the podcast app. Also, if you can Instagram or Twitter or send out a message of what you like about this podcast, what you took away from it, what you learned, tag me and Aaron, and we will definitely respond to you. One Percenter Podcast, get ready, buckle up. Aaron Alexander, let's move.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I remember a specific time. I think you would probably say definitely a lot of players coming out of, I know with the NFL especially, because I've talked to a lot of them.
Yeah.
NHL for sure, NBA, yeah. I've talked to a lot of players like that as well. Coming out of that, the question of like, well, what am I good for now?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is my passion? If I'm not a basketball superhero and I don't have, you know, thousands of people rooting for me, like, what the hell am I doing?
Right.
You know, so I never experienced that part per se. But what I had some interesting moments of people shitting on what I found to be, you know, what I was passionate about, what I found to be truth for myself.
Yeah.
And the specific thing that I specific instances, one in particular of me like kind of presenting this idea of essentially what the book is about now.
Yeah.
It was maybe like 6 or 7 years ago or so. And I remember specifically the person I was talking to about it. They're like, essentially just telling me like, you need to change directions, you know, and like you like everybody knows all this stuff already, you know, it's just, they're not going to actually do it. And I'm like, that's your guidance. Like this stuff that you're like strangely excited about, you know, and like you need to find the thing, or I need to find the thing. I think we all ideally could find the thing that we would do without being paid for.
Yes.
And
yes.
Dig as deep as we possibly can into that.
Yep.
Until eventually, you know, I was listening to an interview with Alex Gray today, the visionary artist guy. Mm-hmm. He created visionary art. That's his niche.
Yeah.
So before Alex Gray,
there wasn't even existing.
There wasn't a visionary art.
Right.
People were doing things that were actually quite, in fact, visionary art. But nonetheless, like, he just formed his niche because it happened to be that thing that's like, dude, I'm really into that. I'm just going to keep on going and going and going. Eventually, if you keep on going with that thing, in my experience, I don't think that probably would relate to maybe everyone. Hopefully it would. I can't speak for everyone. There's kind of this, it's like, you got to get, Seth Godin calls it the dip. You know, you got to get through that dip phase until eventually you come out of the dip and you know so much about this thing that you are the expert. And there will be a niche of individuals that want to seek your guidance around that thing. If you're so passionate about something, even if you've never met somebody that's really passionate, like if you can find that kernel of passion about that thing, no matter what it is, it could be brick laying or it could be cockroach leg flexion observation. Like, I just love how they do their flags. Amazing.
I've always wondered that too.
But if you can find that spark in yourself, guarantee 100% there's going to be at least 10,000 people out there that share that, and they'll find you.
Yeah, and they'll find you, and you'll be able to eventually make it a career in what you do. It might not happen now. One of my favorite quotes is, "It takes 10 years to become an overnight success."
Yeah, I think keep your day job.
Keep your day job.
You know, and then for NBA athletes, you know, their day job, hopefully they've stacked up enough cash that they kind of have investments in place that they can just immerse themselves in something they're passionate about. But for people listening that aren't, like, you know, playing for the, you know, whatever,
right?
I think keep your day job.
Yeah, and follow your passion.
Follow your passion, but you need definitive timelines and you need definitive space in each day that's devoted to your passion. If you don't do that, you will be tired and you will not. You'll just get deeper and deeper into that thing that you don't actually care about until you're too old to actually do the thing that matters.
No doubt. All right, let's optimize some NBA teams. Let's play some hypotheticals here.
Yeah.
All right, so let's say I'm going to hire you as an NBA consultant, and you're going to come into my team, and you're going to make us the best movement, the best recovery that we can possibly be.
Yep.
What are some things that teams aren't seeing, that athletes aren't seeing, that maybe you've experienced through NFL players, NHL players? What are some things that seem pretty obvious to you probably now because this is what you do, but is so, I mean, blanket to everybody else?
Yeah, so I would look at their home environment.
Yes.
And say, okay, what does your home look like?
Yep.
You know, so I would present the opportunity to give them more time on the ground. Ground time is like you look all around the world, people that are on the ground, they have better circulation, it's better for digestion, they have better hip health, better knee health. Osteoarthritis of the hip and the knee is like zero to very close to zero in cultures that are spending lots of time, you know, they poop on the ground, they pee on the ground, like, you know, they get all the way down. That's how your body's meant to do it.
Yeah.
When you go into a deep squat to defecate, to take a shit, your rectum literally elongates to allow the poop chute to open up for you to actually take a dump.
Wow.
So it's called the anal rectal angle. It goes into this angle as you're standing up, and then the puborectalis muscle wraps around that and contracts that so you don't crap yourself while you're taking a walk. Try taking a walk while you're standing up. It's very awkward. I don't think I've tried it. Have you tried it?
No, I've never tried it.
We should try
it. You want to try
it? Yeah, we should try it sometime.
Should we take some laxatives right now?
Yeah,
just go try it?
I've ever actually tried it.
I think the concept sounds great.
I think if you had like a proper movement, I don't think it would be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laxatives might get it, though.
Laxatives, okay.
That's beside the point.
So Maybe Hitler struggled from that, too. I think he had a couple issues going on there.
So as you go through that full range of motion, squat position, I'm not saying people need to poop on the ground. I'm just saying it happens to be the foundation of your evolution as being in a human body. Like, that movement is a part of it.
Yes.
You know, children... they have, when they come out of their mothers, they have these little facets, which are like little sliding spaces in the front of their ankle and the tibia, actually setting their ankle up for full range of motion, dorsiflexion. So the toe coming up towards the knee, that position. Like, as a child, as an animal being, like a little infinite animal, your body is ready to squat.
Wow.
You know, as you're going through that squatting position, so as you're sitting on the sideline, instead of hunching over a chair, why don't you get in a squat position? Why don't you take a knee? Why don't you stack yourself up and stay in that positive state and, you know, go back into the game in a ready state as opposed to in a hunched over, I have to restart the whole engine.
Yo, you might have just hit the jackpot there. I have wondered that. That makes a ton of sense because teams will sit on the bench, and one of the hardest things to do is sit on the bench, come off the bench cold, and go back into the flow of the game going 100 miles per hour and be able to perform.
Yep.
So you're saying teams should not sit on chairs like hunched over or sit on chairs in general.
Sit on a chair. You could sit on a chair and get your butt on the edge of the chair.
Okay.
Right? So you're kind of – so same thing. Your sit bones are on the edge there. You can feel that weight distributed down into your feet, so you keep that contact of your feet on the ground.
Okay.
Ideally, as you sit up, you could just hinge yourself forward and be able to sit up with no momentum. When you're in that full hunched over position, it's not the end of the world. There's nothing wrong with the position per se. It's just that we've done it so much. You know, and from what the research says, being in that position also kind of starts to make you feel a certain way. Makes you feel a little more introspective, more kind of like down going in.
Yep.
If I know that I'm going to have to do some serious shit in 10 minutes, 5 minutes, I'm not really that interested in going back and being a fetus for that time frame.
Yeah. But now that my thoughts are going through my head when you're saying this, one of the best players in the NBA that understood movement, and is probably the best movement player of all time, Steve Nash, he would never sit on the bench. He would always sit down on the baseline, sit cross-legged. Or sit with tucking his legs.
Yep.
To his chest, sitting down there.
Yep, it's better for circulation.
Man.
Yeah, so when you're, so that's what I was saying. When you are, you know, eating on the ground, i.e. the way the whole world has done it forever.
Yeah. Wow, great.
It's literally better to get that blood out of your legs and back up to your heart to get pumped back through.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's real simple stuff. It's not it's like the basic, the most basic physics possible. You know, you raise that tube, your legs, up more, all of a sudden that fluid can fall back towards the pump to get recirculated. If I bring that tube down below myself, you know, 4 feet, 6 feet below the pump, now my body has to work real hard to get that shit back up. You know, and so now as well, moving lymphatic fluid, right? So your lymph, in order for that to circulate through your body, it needs compression from the muscles. That's the way it gets back, right? So that byproduct of your metabolism, for you to be a clean circulated system, you need to have those subtle compressions of your muscular system to move that back up, to keep you circulated, to keep
Makes
you fresh,
sense.
To keep you ready.
Yeah.
When you're in the position that we're in right now, my legs, my hands are on my feet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, I know. My legs are going through this external rotation, right? So I'm getting myself more into a position where I'm opening up my adductors. I'm starting to put myself into a position to engage my glutes, engage my hips correctly. So when I get back up, I'm not in this position. The opposite would be my knees knock-kneed in, like valgus would be the fancier anatomical term for that. They're dropped in. When my knees are dropped in like that, I'm starting to shorten up those adductors. I'm starting to disengage my ass, my glute muscles.
Yeah.
So those gluteal muscles are external rotators. When I'm going into this, when I'm sitting in this position, I'm literally starting to set my hips up for success.
Set your hips up for success. I like that.
Yeah. You're always building. Your body does not know the difference between gym, yoga, kitchen, work, car.
Yeah.
You're always in the gym.
Yeah.
100% of the day, your body is constructing itself.
Man, that's so good, because that's on the next point too, like the 22 hours that you're not in the gym actually working.
Yeah.
So what should a top-level NBA athlete be doing? So number one, if they can check out their home system first, making sure they're getting enough grounding.
Yep.
To when
grounding,
they're in the game.
Grounding from like an electrical sense, but sometimes I think the grounding term can scare people away.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't think
that's what you meant.
No, I meant like sitting on, so it's like more sitting on the ground, more the posture we're talking about.
And it's the ground. It's not that I think actually a lot of it is the ground itself, because being close to Earth, there's a whole big electrical conversation that I'm not an expert with, but
I
think it's spot on. Yeah. But nonetheless, having the opportunity for your hips, ankles, knees to go through that full range of motion, and giving yourself the opportunity for your circulation to work for you instead of against you.
Yep.
And that's what being on the ground just happens to do by default. And it just happens to be what we've evolved from for the last trillions of years. It's very, very recent that all of a sudden it's culturally more appropriate to sit in this hunched over position on a chair, as opposed to going down into a squat, crossing your legs up, 90-90 position, straddle position, take a knee, take two knees, toe sit, seiza, it just means same stuff. You know, that is who you are. Chair is some new shit that's messing us up.
It's interesting because everything goes back to where we began, and everything comes back. Like, we pretty much even in the nutrition, we mess ourselves up compared to what it used to be. I mean, now even in the, even seeing movement, like everything that humans are continuing to do as we get further in technology and advancement continues to mess us up who we really should be.
Yeah, man, you don't need technology. Technology is bonus points. It's extra.
Right.
It's icing on the cake. If you're seeking technology to replace the sun, to replace being on the ground, to replace being barefoot every now and again, to replace hanging, if you got a tree in your yard and you don't every now and again have a hang or twist or pull yourself up into it or something like that, and you instead get into your car, maybe you drive a Tesla now, so you're bombarded by all this radiation and stuff. I think Teslas are the sexiest car on the road.
I was just going to say, I wish I had one.
But nonetheless, it's a lot of radiation that's happening in there, and you're staring into your cell phone, which stresses you out, because your eyes affect your nervous system as well. Looking out into the distance causes you want to take a deep breath in.
You know,
I look out in the distance, it literally calms my nervous system and puts me in a more healing state.
Man.
You know, so if you, instead of doing what I just explained, you have a $200 a month membership at some biohacking facility or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, your whole life is a biohacking facility.
Yeah.
You're just missing all of that.
Man.
and you're paying to sit in your freaking radiation box and drive and sit in another radiation box and get bombarded by all sorts of weird electricity that, like, were sold to us as being this health benefit. You already have all the stuff. The most valuable things in life are free, and it relates to your health as well.
Man. Gosh, that's so true. And in the world that we're in the space that we see with all these biohackers and people saying this is the way to live forever, to have longevity. Like,
no, they're scared to death.
We need
to do like deeper psychoanalysis of these people that are like, I will live to be 200. It's like, dog, why the fuck do you want to be 200 in this body? What are you doing? Like, you realize there's a continuation to this life thing.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, exactly. But what you make it seem so like, I mean, you don't have to, because people get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, just as much as stress is an issue, overwhelm is an issue.
Certainly.
You know, like, and we felt that we feel like we have too much stuff piled up with books coming out or whatever it might be, but people feel overwhelmed with, oh, now my morning routine has to look like this person's, which has 35 things in. I got to do every single one of those. Yeah. Then I got to go to my biohacking lab and everything. But if you can just simplify it, in which is the most effective way anyways, which you absolutely do to a T and live it to a T, like, that's optimization. That's real life.
That's
optimization.
Real optimization. Yeah. I mean, Einstein said it, and I know for sure two different ways. We're probably lots of different ways. But if you can't teach it to a whatever grade he said, second grader or whatever, then you don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, and every complex concept in science is actually inherently simple. And if you can't explain it in a simple way, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you have a 39 step thing to do anything, yeah, you don't understand it.
That's a good point. I better check my morning routine. I just got done with my morning routine. It's 2 p.m.
No, exactly.
All right, let's talk about, like, okay, so keep going on the NBA and the professional athletes. How is the most effective way to rest? Because it's not just sit down. Like, most people think, go to a gym, smash a workout, sit down and rest.
Elevate your legs.
Elevate legs.
You know,
okay,
so get yourself, you call it an active resting position would be something that, a term that, I don't know who's founded that originally, but I like the term. You know, take that concept of active rest, take that into your whole day. You know, so when you're resting, it's not hunching over in a couch staring at your Instagram feed. That's not rest. That's stressing you out and clogging you up.
Yeah, multiple ways.
Right.
Multiple
now you ways. Need, after that, you need to kind of unwind that and kind of like do another rest on top of that rest.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. That's how you get in like the 39 step to rest thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, so something that you could be doing that's really simple yet profound is get your feet up on the edge of a couch. Don't sit on the couch. Lay beside the couch. Put your feet up on top of there. Now you're decompressing your lower back, which very likely has been stuck in this hyperextension throughout the day, hyperlordosis. There's a good chance it's doing that. It might not be. But nonetheless, decompressing that sacrum, right? Starting to get that cerebral spinal fluid and all that blood and lymph and everything to be able to pump all the way up that central channel of your nervous system, being your spine all the way to the top of your head. Sacrum, your tail all over the top of your head, being able to just lay down on your back, breathe into the side of your ribs, breathe into your abdomen, emphasize that breath out, which activates more of that parasympathetic side of the nervous system. Rest, digest, heal, calm.
Yeah.
You know, so you laying on your back, raising your legs up, so you're decompressing that sacrum, you're starting to bring fluid out of your legs and down into your heart. You can lay your legs up against a wall as well if you want to stretch your hamstrings.
Leg drains, yeah.
Yep.
Beautiful.
You know, so you doing that, and then as you're down there, you could start working with your breath. Breath is the most powerful tool.
Yep.
There's nothing that's going to trump breath. It will never happen.
I know. I need to learn more about that. I know how important it is.
Let's talk about it now.
Okay. This is great, too. Fill me in, man.
You know, so something that you can play with is a lot of people, especially in like the yoga reality, they kind of encourage more like belly breathing. Belly breathing is bullshit. It's not bad, but you distending your belly outward doesn't mean you're activating your diaphragm, right? Your diaphragm isn't in your intestines.
Right.
You know, so you bringing your hands into the sides of your ribs and feeling this horizontal breath moving out laterally, moving out to the sides. If you can feel those ribs, do it right now. That's good for you. It's good for everybody. Yeah, sides, not the front. Yeah. So feel as you're taking a breath. People listening to it as well. It's nice. So, and then out. So as you're doing that, you're going to actually really finally feel that diaphragm coming online, right? So notice this difference. If you go out to the side again. So you notice your belly will naturally, you're a good breather, your belly will naturally come online, thanks, right? You'll start to feel that breath into the low back. You'll feel that breath into the front of the belly. You feel it side of the ribs. Now try, breathe just in the belly, or in the front of the belly. You feel how it's like you're breathing kind of too good. You're breathing better than I want you to. Try to put the breath right in the belly. Feel how it's like restricted?
Yeah,
it's like
I feel short. Much more open when I'm here on
absolutely.
The side.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's because you are.
That is. Yeah, right?
As you're pumping that diaphragm, that's moving. It's going beyond just moving air. It's moving blood. It's moving lymph. It's moving, it's activating your nervous system. It's telling you that you're in a calm state. When you can breathe like that throughout millennia, that's an integrated pattern saying that you're safe. If you can breathe like that. If you can't breathe like that, that's an integrated pattern saying you're under attack. So if you're continually breathing in such a way that's more like clavicular, you could say, for fancy terms, just like up in the neck, right? That's essentially, pretend you're being startled right now. Pretend I'm going to, all of a sudden, I pull a gun on you.
Ho!
Yeah, right?
There it is.
Where are your shoulders at?
I'm kind of crouched over
right?
Here.
Yeah, exactly. So you did more of like a comical scared, but like if it was real,
for sure.
Would be more like, so you would take a breath in through your mouth. Okay, so that breath in through your mouth is, again, associated to activating more of that parasympathetic kind of fight, flight, attack mode. You get a big breath in, right? My shoulders, they jack up. So now all of a sudden, that pattern is sending this signal through my whole physiology that I should upregulate the stress stuff and downregulate anything that goes into any type of restorative healing process because I have no time for that shit.
Wow,
I need as much stress hormones and adrenaline as I can possibly get. I need to get the hell out of this room.
Yeah.
There's a time that's valuable. Sometimes you want to jack yourself up with a shot of adrenaline. Maybe use these tactics.
Yeah.
Right at that time, maybe you get around your team. What does that sound like? Oh, Wim Hof.
Yeah. For
wow,
sure. Just kind of
right.
Nice.
So you bring your shoulders up. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. You're going more into this other form of you're going to a peak state of like readiness. I'm about to slay a lion or something.
Yeah.
It's totally fine for that. But once you slay the lion, you don't stay in that state. Now you go back in, you need to restore yourself because you probably tore some muscles down while you're fighting the lion.
It's really interesting. So you have different styles of breathing for different 100%. Times.
100%. Wow. Absolutely. It's a whole toggle. Think if you've ever had like a music switchboard, right? There's not one volume.
Right.
You have a party of 1,000 people coming. There's not one, okay, cool, I just keep it up at 33 degrees up to the right. This'll get it. It's like, no, like the room shifted, man. We started off, we're warming up and we're just chilling, we're having drinks, we're kind of sessing it out. Cool, like, let's turn it down to, low. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to chill. Mm-hmm. We're like, all right, I think we're kind of vibing a little bit. We're moving a little. Let's crank it up a little bit. Let's change the breath.
Yeah.
Right? Let's maybe change our postural patterns a little bit. Right? Let's maybe change the way that we look. Let's get a little more direct with our focus.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to I just want to look out in the window and chill.
No, that's interesting because I've never heard that. And, like, when I was taking those breaths right there, I honestly felt, like, really calm.
Mm.
So that's probably a great thing to do every morning, huh?
It's a great thing to do all the time. There's never a time that's inappropriate to check in with your breath because your breath is always a direct one-to-one indicator of where your nervous system is at. There's no way to separate it.
Okay. Love it. So as you...
Maybe there's some way that I don't know about. As I'm saying that, I wonder if perhaps somebody could hack that shit, but I don't think so.
But the thing I like about you is you're always learning too. So what you know now, I mean, you might know...
I'm open to someone cracking it. I'd be like, damn, he cracked it. But I haven't seen anybody crack it.
And even like some of the things that you're saying too, you're like, well, I know this, but I'm not an expert in it, so I can't really talk on it as in depth. But you know it, you understand it, and you're continue to learn and continue to grow. As you're the expert in movement, mind and body, like you're going to continue to get better and better and better at it. Where you're at, oh, you will. Like right where you're at right now, think about how much you'll know 10 years from now. It's amazing.
Oh, I'm just a nascent little bitch right now.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it. I was imposing it on you.
If you don't think you're a nascent bitch, then you are not trying hard enough.
Exactly. You don't you don't really start learning until after you think you actually know it all. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Man, where was I going with that? I thought I had a great thought to tell you.
Mindset's a big deal to learning, though.
No, so how are you absolutely like juiced up and motivated every single day. People ask me this question a lot, but just being around you too, it's like the same. Like you put off a vibe of just absolute joy, absolute light. But how, like, what drives you to be motivated to get out of bed and to just, I mean, dive into the book and dive into helping people and dive into learning more and more?
Purpose.
Yeah, purpose.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that's the hardest thing. If you don't have purpose, which I have not had for a good percentage of my life, and I'll wake up some days and not know what my purpose is and feel all disconnected and have to sort that shit out. Yeah. You know, so your purpose shifts.
How do you come back to that? Because I think a lot of people do struggle with that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people will struggle with, like, how do they connect back to their purpose? Is there any ways that you connect back to it?
I got my systems.
Yeah.
You know, so I go, I'll watch the sunset almost every day. Beautiful. I go down to the beach and, you know, I hang out with people and I do, you know, what could be conceived to some people as being some strange, some people, they might appreciate it, but like acrobatic yoga, you know, where I'll like pick people up over my head and they're doing handstands and we kind of like twist each other around and, you know, we'll do different type of stuff that involves in that experience. All of those systems bring me back into a balanced state, a ready state, a more parasympathetic state, whatever language is appropriate.
Right.
You know, so in doing that, I think sometimes it's valuable to just have the systems that you fall back on just because you know that they do the thing. And maybe if they don't do the thing quite that day, maybe they will the next day. Or maybe they will the day after that. Yeah. Maybe they will, like, you stick to the plan, eventually you make it through the shit.
Yeah.
You know, but that, I mean, it's something that thankfully presently I have other people in my life that my work is dependent on their work, which keeps me accountable. You know, so I think that's been a really valuable thing, is setting yourself up with accountability with other people where it actually matters. And if I don't show up in such a way that you know, is meaningful and honest, then you suffer.
Yeah.
If I don't show up in this conversation in such a way that's like has hopefully some degree of meaning for people listening,
for sure,
then you suffer.
Yeah, I see. I 100% see what you're saying.
Right. So it's not me by myself. If it was me by myself, I'd probably kill myself a long time ago. I'd be like, oh, reset. Like, I want some community.
Right. And that's what we were talking about. Like, that's what we're talking about at the start. Like, when we thought it was about, when we were interviewing people at the start, when we thought it was about just us, and what we can show others that we can do and we could do. It's not about what we gain, but it's what we pour into others. And that's biggest learning. Like, I can see it in you. And the biggest learning that I've had is I'm not worried about what I'm going to get out of a situation. If I can pour into somebody else without expecting anything in return, like, it's all going to work itself out in the end.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stress about anything. I'm just worrying about, like, because you're always going to worry about what's next, what's coming next, even when you accomplish something great.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see teams win NBA championships and they're like, oh, the next day, what's next? We got to win it again.
Yeah, of course.
Like, no, you don't.
That's the hedonic treadmill. Yeah. You know, you get to the point, it's like, oh, cool, I finally got the Tesla. You know, which now there's a cheaper one, actually, so more people can get
one?
Yeah, they're like $40,000 now. It's not a big deal.
Oh, man, all right.
It's like a normal car.
But will we have the, all the EMFs and all that stuff with it going too?
I don't know. I think there's some, I mean, another interesting thing is by driving around in a fancy car and by wearing clothes that make you proud and by being with people that you're proud of, it's also shown to increase testosterone levels and decrease stress.
Oh,
you know, so there's a really interesting kind of, like, ping pong back and forth between, like, some of the ego stuff does work.
Yeah.
Like, there is physiological state shift effect from getting the car.
Right.
But it's not sustainable because you didn't actually, underneath that, there's, like, deeper self-worth issues happening. So you can get a little pop. Like, woo, like, that felt good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, cool, sweet. Like, well, I got erections again. Like, hey, you, like, change your physiology because you feel dope in your car. Like, that's cool that you did that.
Right.
But underneath that is, do you feel enough without the car? Do you feel enough without the clothes? Do you feel enough without the girl? Like, if you can feel that, now all of a sudden it's like you're working in the, you know, you're in the black. You know, you're in the, is black when you have money? Red's when you don't have money, right?
Red's when you have, I think it is, isn't it?
Isn't that how it works? I'm not an
accountant. Is it black? I don't know. I know red's when you're not, so I don't really know.
I think black is when
you
got money, right?
And there's like
some people are like, this asshole.
Yeah.
You know, but that's when you're actually working on, you're not working on borrowed money, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. No,
you know, so when you're on that place or you have the internal system in order, You know, you can sit with yourself in meditation. It's not a big deal.
What you do a great job of saying through everything that you teach is you always have to have the foundation first. Like those ego boosts that we're just talking about right there. Like if you don't have the foundation, you can have those, but you drop through.
Yep.
You can still have those, but if you have the foundation of what you are and the servanthood you are and being able to be vulnerable and being able to be laugh at yourself and not take things so seriously, if you have the foundation of the core principles of your purpose, you can have those ego things and you can come back and you're still good.
And you also won't be able to truly enjoy those material things.
That's
because
point,
you're
man.
Actually, you subconsciously know Ooh, that your happiness is dependent upon their existence. As long as you're in that place, there will be a deeper level of contraction and fear. Ooh. Because I know if the stock market does this, which it will, I will feel away. And my happiness, my internal joy, is based off of these numbers that I have no control of.
Yep.
That will make your sphincters clench up.
That'll be good while you're squatting and taking a dump with those sphincters.
And you can start to unclench those sphincters via doing those movement fundamentals that I'm enamored by.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can change your physiological state, your movement mechanics, you start to change the way that you think and the way that you feel. And then you start to set up this feedback loop that other people see. They receive that.
Yeah.
They send you feedback back saying, wow, dude, you look good, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, like what's
you've
been working out? Like, no, I don't know, but cool. All right. I look good.
Yeah.
You know, you're more confident. You look in the mirror. That filter of the way that you see yourself literally changes. Like body dysmorphia is a real thing. I look in the mirror and I fucking hate myself.
Yeah.
Like that's real shit.
Dude.
I look in the mirror. I think I'm 300 pounds. It's like, no, you're 111 pounds.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like, you're sick.
Yeah.
And you think you look like you weigh 300 pounds. You're sick.
Dude. What you have just talked about for the last like 5 minutes, I hope that's in your book because that really hit a chord. Like that was gold right there.
Mm.
Everything's been great, but like that just wraps everything together.
That's what the whole beginning is about. That's the gold thread
you.
that's related throughout the whole thing. That's the thing that's missing in the movement conversation that I'm filling in.
That's exactly what's missing in the movement conversation. You're going to open a lot of people's eyes.
But I'm not the only one saying this.
Yeah.
I'm by no means I'm claiming that I'm coming up with anything. Like this is you know, an amalgamation of different things going back to like William James, like the father of modern psychology, and going back to philosophers and going back to modern physical therapists. Like by no means am I claiming anything. It's like, this is my shit.
I just
want people to get it.
But it's what you've studied and what you've learned. Like nothing is an original idea all in itself. Everything is accumulation of what we've learned from other people. Like, that's what I tell coaches that want to learn from me. Like, I'll tell them, steal my stuff. Take stuff from other people. Put it together to make it your own stuff.
Yeah.
But it's how you deliver it, and it's how you live and breathe it.
Yeah.
Like, someone could say be saying the same exact stuff as you do, but if they don't say it in the same way that you do, or with the same feel, or the same passion, or with the same purpose you do, it doesn't come across.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or the same dialect.
Exactly.
The language. It's like, oh, cool, he's from Iowa.
Yeah, see,
you can
I know.
Communicate to people in such a way that someone that's from Alaska or California or Belgium just won't. They won't hear it.
I know. People from Iowa can't communicate. I mean, we just look at corn and look at our pigs. That's pretty much it. All right, man, I could talk to you all day, but for respect for your time, let's just jump into some rapid fire, some of my favorites here.
Cool.
And all right, we'll get you going here. So give me a favorite mindset quote or just a favorite mentality thing that you live by. You probably have a lot of them, but is there anyone that
the way you do anything is the way you do everything?
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so you can start to look at the way that you perform on the court, the way that you perform at work, the way that you perform in relationships. By strengthening any one of those, it will spill into the rest.
Yeah,
you know, so if you go home, you know, you came over to my house today and it's like you're like, oh, like this place feels good. If it didn't feel good to be in my house, it probably won't feel good to be around me.
Yeah.
My house is an extension of me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so if you have issues, you feel disorganized in your work or in, you know, fill in the blank thing, organize your house, organize your car, organize your body.
Yeah.
Maybe whatever you got to do, get a new facial hair thing, get a haircut. Like everybody knows it. When you get a haircut, you feel like a different person.
Yeah, that's true, man. But I mean, it also goes to the point of like where I'll tell people that want to be at some certain place, but you like a young kid that wants to be like where you're at right now, but they have to realize everything that they do at that spot.
It all matters.
It all matters.
Everything matters.
It all matters.
And it doesn't at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
At any time, if we can, the sun could like fall out of orbit and we could just turn into like Yeah. Cold dust.
That's possibly could happen. But yes, I mean, like, so no matter where you are, anybody listening to this, no matter where you're at anywhere in your life, like, you're there for a reason and for a purpose. And if you do that with the best ability that you can do it, then when you're given more opportunities, you're going to be ready for that too.
I said the sun fall out of orbit as though the sun's orbiting around us. I know that the sun's not orbiting around us, but it is orbiting around.
I didn't even catch
some
that.
Other shit.
That's a good one. It's got to be orbiting something.
That's the heliocentric model of the. Of, we believe that everything orbits around the Earth.
Yeah.
Westerners typically would more feel that way. When Westerners look at pictures, for example, they will see more the image, the eye in it, whereas Eastern cultures more typically will see like the surroundings.
Huh.
There's lots of different examples of that. The way we're like an eye culture, you know, the century of self. You know, so we perceive the world from the first person me, whereas there's all sorts of other ways to perceive the world from. And so we. You know, it's the environment, it's the tree. There's all sorts of ways to relate yourself to.
Isn't it cool going to different cultures and different countries and being able to see how vastly different they see things?
Yeah.
Like you were talking about all your travel too. I've been over 50 countries and being able to see from different cultures and all different types of people and just how vastly different everything is, but how at the core, how very similar it is too.
Yeah.
Like how everybody's struggling with some internal struggle.
Yeah, man. The sooner you can be honest about that, like I do my damnedest to not cover up any shit on when I'm, you know, recording a conversation with somebody like this.
Yeah.
If there's some insecurity that you have, it's the same thing. Like if there's a passion that you have, there's lots of other people that share that passion.
Yep.
If there's some insecurity that you have, one, lots of other people are experiencing that without a doubt.
No doubt.
The sooner that you can express that, not only the sooner do you get to heal from it, but the sooner the people around you get to heal from it.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of unnecessary pressure that no one actually stated or defined on any rule book or anything like that. But nonetheless, there's this pressure on human beings to like seem perfect. And when you do that, you cut yourself off from people and you become lonely.
Yep. 100%, man. That's being vulnerable. And that's kind of jumping into my next point was going to be like, if like you don't look at anything happening to you, you look at it happening for you for the benefit of others. Like
yeah,
any
or
kind
of, through you.
Yeah, through
There's
you.
There's lots
yeah.
of ways
yeah.
to look at it.
Like any kind of negative thing you can twist to a positive and be like, someone's going through this.
Any
and
second.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything like vulnerable that has really changed your life and changed your trajectory on where you've headed? Like anything that really that you had to, I mean, just kind of dig deep. Like for me, it was thinking I was going to play in the NBA and then realizing that I got cut from a second division team in northern Spain that drinks beers at halftimes, and everything that I put in, all the effort and energy I put into playing the NBA was nullified.
Yeah.
Was there anything like that in your life that really...
Just an ongoing sensation of not being enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I could say events. There's been events. But again, the event is fairly meaningless. It's what the meaning that you attach to the event that actually has weight.
Yeah.
You know, so that would probably be the thing is in and out of, you know, are you enough? Enough for what? You know, enough money or enough success or enough, you know, appreciation from other people, enough appreciation from yourself. You know, so that like ongoing, like enough, that's like been an ongoing thing. But I'm more able to witness the triggers, which is an interesting thing. But nonetheless, I can still see some of that stuff pop up.
Yeah. Like and you're very real and you're very authentic with who you are. So you've done a very good job.
Anything else is fucking painful.
I completely agree, man. I completely agree.
And there's probably even layers of inauthenticity that I don't even know about yet.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
I'll look back in 10 years and be like, there's that thing that you were riding on. Motherfucker.
As the sun falls out of orbit at some time. Give me some give me three non-negotiable for you in your day. Like three things you're going to do that make you who you are. Like it could be
I'm going to be on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like if we're ever hanging out in a grocery store, there's a good chance if you walk past me and I'm in a line, I'll be in a squat.
Yeah.
That's going to happen like all throughout every day, without a doubt. I'm going to expose myself to the sun as pretty much as I can without getting like any kind of like sunburn or anything like that. I really want to watch the sun set. I would ideally like to get up early enough to watch the sun rise, but typically I don't. You know, I get up around like 6:45 or something like that, yeah. 7. But the sun is a huge thing, and non-negotiable.
Yeah, that's three right there if you want to keep going. I mean,
did I say three? It was pretty mainly sun and being on the ground was the things that
sun
I was thinking.
Sun and being on the ground. You said sunset. You said getting out in the sun.
It's just sun.
How about this?
General
you're going to move. You're going to move in some way.
Yeah. I did a Vipassana where you just sit in place for 10 days.
Oh,
you, like,
wow.
Take, I mean, you move as well, but you just like sit and like meditate for 10 days, essentially.
You don't talk?
No talk, no looking at each other, that's no notebooks, no pens. It's cool. It's a really great opportunity. Highly recommend it.
How were you feeling on like day 6 or 7?
It was still challenging at that point. But, I mean, there's just so like a better question would be how did I feel on like day 8 or 9?
Okay.
Not better question, but just because there was more, there was more like actual some degree of like freedom that was manifesting itself around 6. There was more like pain and
that's what I'm saying. I feel like 6 would be like a, like in a 5-day fast, day 3 sucks.
Yeah, right.
4 is great though. 4, you're awesome.
Yeah, the first 3 days were the most people leave on day 4 and day 6. So actually, I take that back. I said it wasn't the best question. It was a great question. 6 actually.
Thanks,
six,
man. You made me feel good about myself there.
6 actually is the day that most people leave.
Yeah.
And yeah, whatever. It's hard, but it's all just fucking as far in the grand scheme of things, it's not hard at all. It's so not a big deal.
Right.
Like, wow, you sat with yourself for 10 days. Like, who cares? There's like people starving and fighting wars and having to cut their fucking arms off and shit. And you're whining about sitting with yourself in a, in like a, you know, they're bringing food to you. And it's just like, shut up.
What was your biggest takeaway? True. It could be worse. It could have things be worse. But what was your biggest takeaway from that? It's really interesting. I would like to do that and check that out.
I highly recommend it.
Just be more peaceful.
I think just accessing like what the hell is meditation in the first place. Like that gives you space to access your mind in such a way that it's like, oh, like, okay. Like typical meditation program for people is like a 9-minute bullshit.
Right. Look at
which
a phone
is fine.
App.
You're doing a little better, but to do that, you probably looked at your phone, which is the problem in the first place. You know, and then you're waiting for the phone to get done, and then the phone bleeps at you, and then you look at your phone again to see if you got any messages in the 9 minutes that you've been away. It's, you know, it's fine, but to have a longer time, you get to actually get in to see real patterns of yourself, as opposed to just riding that topical layer until the wheels, you know, either fall off or worse, they don't fall off and you never actually really had to access any like truth in yourself. And then you died that way. The sooner the wheels can fall off, the better.
The better.
Fail fast.
There you go.
Is something
that
I got from somebody else.
Yeah.
Fail hard, fail fast.
But it's great. I mean, it applies to everything that you say too. Like a lot of the quotes I make up, I just kind of tweak some of the quotes.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
If I hear something I like, I'm going to use it. Yeah. Why wouldn't I? Because then you're sharing it with somebody else. It's going to help somebody else.
Yeah.
All right, 2 more for you. What does, let's say 100 years from now, your legacy, what does a legacy look like to you?
People are experiencing joy in their bodies and in their movement, and they feel empowered in themselves, and their movement expression is something that actually brings them joy.
That's awesome. And if you could wrap up in a nutshell for somebody looking to just make one small, like we call it the 1%er podcast, where you're just making small 1% changes daily, pouring into yourself so you can pour into others. If you could make one small change in your day today, if someone listened to this, what would you say the biggest one small change would be?
For other people?
For other people, for everybody listening, and everybody that's going to pick up your book coming out here soon. And I want you to tell about the book everywhere that we can find you, everything right after this question.
I would just say truly give a shit about, you know, you start with other people or start with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like you have an opportunity to potentially change the direction of someone's whole life.
Dude, that's awesome.
Any
that's
moment.
Money. You do.
Like
you really
could
do.
Be the person that served you coffee at the place that you came from here, literally could have been on their way back to their house to kill themselves.
That's, man. Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that.
Like that's real.
It's real. It's actually real.
In fact, there's a good chance that in, you know, your path throughout your life, you've met with somebody that's not here anymore because they were having a rough go and they were like, today's the day to end it.
Man.
You know, so looking around, every person that you make contact with is an opportunity for you to connect in a meaningful way, I think. And it doesn't mean that you need to sit back and listen to all their problems. like just a share of genuine presence with a person for an instant can be enough to change a whole person's life.
Speak life and encouragement into them too. Yeah, for sure. Like that's the impact every daily conversation can have.
Yeah.
Like you could have just changed my life right here. You did change my life right
Without
here.
Without a doubt, we both changed each other's lives. All three of us.
Seriously.
We were like, there's the butterfly effect's real shit. Like there's no way for us to not. And like I said, we're literally became a bit more of each other because all y'all's bacteria is inside of me and vice versa. You know, that's why we're not asexual.
Yeah.
Like, it would be way more efficient if you could just, like, be in your apartment in Santa Monica and just, like, pop a baby out. It's like, you need to mix with people.
Yeah.
That's another foundation of your humanity.
Yeah.
Connect.
Love it, man. All right, let us know all about that. It's a good point to end on right there. We're going to pop out babies by ourselves. Let us know where everything that we can follow you. I mean, we'll link to everything in the show notes, of course, and just talk about the book a little bit. I'm probably as juiced up about it as you are, which
I know
you're juiced up about it.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate that.
Let everybody know.
I mean, people can just type Align Podcast in, and that's everything. That's the website and the social media and all the things. We have, like, online programs. We have heaps of free stuff that's actually based around movement, but obviously lifestyle stuff as well. And then the book comes out. It'll be on pre-order 2 or 3 months before December, so whatever that is, October, I think.
I think it is October.
And it's called The Align Method. And essentially gets into what we talked about.
Yep.
You know, so how do we start to shift our environment in such a way that our existence in that place makes us a better person? How do we start to access our senses as what I would consider to be a foundation of your fitness and your wellness? How do we start to access your movement to impact the way that you think and the way that you feel? Your whole life is movement. And so that's what the book is really about.
Man, it's awesome. And I would I literally follow everything that you do because you live and breathe what you preach. And there's so many people out there that do not do that. You live and breathe what you preach from a servant mentality. Like we just were talking about too, like how it's all about giving, 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 giving without expecting anything in return.
I'm working on that.
But you do a great job of it.
Yeah.
It's always a work in progress for everybody. And if you said you were already there, then we'd have to go back to the ego conversation and have to smack you upside the head.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's our. We're gonna have like a mandate sometime soon. I think we're having like some bromance going on there.
Feels kind of like a mandate.
Yeah, this is a good little mandate. Sip a little tea out here, maybe get our nails done or something.
Yeah,
but appreciate you big time, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Awesome.
Over and out.
Big time. Thank you for joining me on the One Percenter podcast. Hopefully you took something away from today that you can implement into your own life, that you can improve 1% daily, pouring into yourself so that you can pour into others. And that's what life's about. Just living every day with the ultimate joy, passion for what you do, and overall confidence in who you are. Being able to live the life that you want to live without caring how others want you to live it. And if you want to take the next step along with me, right beside me in a community of 1%ers, in a tribe of 1%ers, check out davidnurseacademy.thinkific.com. The link will be in the show notes, but what this is this gets you registered to be part of the family, the 1%er family, taking the 29-day challenge, where it goes in-depth, personalized, customized information and questions to me, where I work hand-in-hand with you to help you optimize your sleep, your nutrition, your training, and your overall mindset, and literally to make you the ultimate 1%er. So check that out, davidnurseacademy.thinkific.com. Link is in the show notes. But really, that's only if you want it. That's if you want to take the next step. You definitely don't have to. I'm just super blessed and super happy to have you along on this journey with me on the 1%er podcast. And I'm always trying to improve. I'm always trying to learn. So if you could, leave me some questions. Leave me some comments. Leave a 5-star review. That would be great. Or if you think it's a 1-star, tell the truth on that too. But anyways, that helps me get on even more guests and helps us all learn together and grow together in any area that we can. And ultimately, that's the joy in life. Think about it. If you can enjoy the journey, enjoy the daily process, enjoy the daily grind, and not have to put your thoughts and hopes and dreams and the expectations of others or what the world deems a success, but just knowing you're waking up every single day
on a mission, on your purpose, following your passion. That's what being a one percenter is about. That's what this podcast is about. Hope you all have a great week. Thank you for supporting the One Percenter Podcast. Go out there and do something for somebody. Change somebody's life. If you change one life, that is leaving a legacy. The rest is gravy on top. Remember, life is a journey. Enjoy it. David Nurse, One Percenter Podcast, signing off.